The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio this morning, we have Mark Ryland. He is a Chief Solutions Architect for Amazon Web Services. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Good morning, John. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Yeah, it's been a while since we had you in the studio, and it seems like there's been several libraries of information about new products alone from Amazon. I don't know how to even control. I should have had you in about every 3 months to say, what's new in the last week? But what I wanted to do is bring you in and maybe keep my fellow listeners, just give them a hint of some of the things Amazon's been doing in the last 6 months to help them accomplish the objectives of their agency. But before we dive into what Amazon can do for my govies, tell us about your background, Mark, and maybe how you wound up working for Amazon, please.
Sure, I'd be happy to. So I've been in the industry for 20-some years. I've done some big company things. I worked for Microsoft once, actually a couple times, that did some startups. And I joined Amazon about three and a half years ago to build and run a very talented team of solutions architects, technical folks working in a sales organization and helping customers to adopt cloud technology.
Yes, I work with enterprise architects all the time, and they are a very peculiar breed of individual.
They are. They're hard to find, actually. Yeah. Hiring is a challenge.
And they want to hide, and they will just go so deep into a problem and then pull themselves up, and they need someone else to keep them on the even rudder. But it's a funny skill set to have, but what a great skill set if you understand
it.
You have to
have the technical depth of a real geek and be able to go down to the code level and packet sniffing on the wire and also be able to talk to the C-level executive about the business strategy and so forth. So getting people that can scale across that full range of capability is challenging, but we find them and they're great. Great to have.
Yeah. And the skill set may or may not be related to IT. The skill set is almost a social skill set. I'm thinking of this big Super Bowl game and everything else. And, there's so many different individuals in play. But that's the skill set with an enterprise architect is getting along with a lot of different people and understanding a lot of different levels of comprehension and almost modeling their description of the problem to the level of the person they're dealing. Because you can get a half-hour description at one level, and you better tell the CEO, okay, we'll ship the product on time.
Right, exactly. Scaling up and down and dealing with the details, but also the big picture items is and social intelligence to understand what your audience actually can benefit from as opposed to just giving your spiel, which may not be suited for them if you aren't careful. So.
Well, my audience has got a small budget, reduced staff, and getting pushed into the cloud, sometimes kicking and screaming. But I think anyone who has been alive in the last 4 or 5 years knows that Amazon has a very large presence in the federal government and is getting bigger and stronger. And when you try to describe Amazon Web Services to a novice or maybe someone who's worked in a different field, you say, well, it's a collection of services in the cloud. And that's just really so hard to describe. Maybe you can describe it better than that, or the different services that are offered, or maybe a handful of services that really benefit my government listeners.
Sure, I'd be happy to. Yes, since we were here last a little over 2 years ago, I remember we at the time were citing statistics like we had 300 government agencies as customers, 1,500 educational institutions. Just a few months ago at our big reInvent conference, we were able to announce triple those kinds of numbers. So 900 government agencies, 3,400 educational customers. We've identified over 11,000 nonprofits that use and NGOs that use our cloud. So, what is this cloud thing? Part of the problem is the word cloud has become utilized for just about everything. I was on a metro the other day and I looked at an advertisement and it showed a picture of a server and it said, buy your cloud server from so-and-so. And I was like, it's a server.
Yeah, on the way home from work or something?
But, another way to think about it is utility computing, the ability to just access computing services, storage, and all these capabilities, database services, just like an electric utility. Plug into the internet, turn on the bill, get the capability you need, run it as long as you need, scale it up or down, let someone else worry about all the physical infrastructure, all the management, all the base level security features, and you just run your applications, and when you don't need it anymore, you shut it down, and you scale up and down as demand requires. It's, you know, utility computing, I think, is a really good metaphor for what a true cloud platform is.
Yeah, when I describe, sometimes I say, well, geez, I'm going to Los Angeles next week to see my sister, and, you know, I'm not going to drive my car out there. What I'm going to do is rent a car, and when I'm done, bring it back. It would be stupid for me to drive my car out there. Also be equally stupid for me to buy a car while I'm in L.A. for the week and come back. And so there are organizations have needs that may not be 12 months a year. They may need needs that are short term. And so why should you, you know, buy the diesel truck if you're just going to move once every 10 years or something?
And it turns out that, you know, while there's some obvious scalability, people think about e-commerce, hey, you're really busy around Christmas, things like that. When you actually get into business applications, it's really surprising how much scale variation there is, even for something like an accounting application. You know, an accounting application might have way higher load at the end of the month or the end of the year, maybe 10 times what it would normally have kind of on a day-to-day basis. So as people begin to understand cloud technology and build, re-architect their applications for these this natural inherent scalability, we're finding that it goes way beyond the kind of obvious use cases and it penetrates deep into the heart of business applications as well.
Well, that's a good general description. And so if you look at Amazon Web Services, you'll see maybe a dozen different regions. And one dedicated region already is right for the Govies, isn't it? The GovCloud.
Yeah, we have U.S. GovCloud. It's an Amazon region that's just like our other regions in terms of API compatibility and all the features that you'd be interested in. But it is unique in that it's a community cloud. It's limited to a certain set of customers who either our government customers or private companies that support the government ecosystem. So it's a very nice environment for customers who are getting their feet wet with cloud computing.
When I'm dealing with my enterprise architects, I always talk about when I started the business, and they all wonder what Abraham Lincoln was like. I go, no. And when I started the business, you know, you want a system, the IBM guy would come out with a suit and tie, and he'd come up with a proposal. 6 months later, maybe you'd get a proposal, and then 2 months from there, you'd install it. And it would be a year before you could see something down the hall. Well, guess what? You know, it ain't going to work today, is it? I mean, you don't have 6 months. You may not even have a month.
Unfortunately, the server acquisition isn't that much faster. For a lot of people, it's, you know, it's a minimum 10 to 18 week cycle to just get some equipment to try something new. And that's one of the really big benefits of a cloud computing platform like Amazon Web Services is the ability to just try things, to do IT on a more experimental basis. You know, spend 2 weeks doing something and see if it works. And the cost of an experiment might be measured in the hundreds of dollars, you know, not the thousands. And when you're done, you put it, throw it away. You can even have teams doing 3 or 4 different things simultaneously in parallel, seeing which one works. And whichever one is most promising, you let that team run and you put your resources behind that project. So you can really approach solving IT problems in a really dramatically different way with a lot more agility and a lot more flexibility and the ability to try things and see if they work.
This guy, Don Rumsfeld, said, you don't know what you don't know. And I think that a lot of the IT folks go, well, we don't know, we don't know. How are we going to have to scale in 6 months? How are we going to have to scale in a year? What about the people at FEMA? I mean, what's going to happen next? Who knows what's going to happen? I mean, New York City could have been buried 2 weeks ago, and the next event's going to be in Seattle. Who knows? I mean, and so the people at FEMA, that's an obvious place where they don't know. They have to be loose and flexible and be able to ramp up when they have to. You know, they don't want to have all those snow trucks sitting, burning gasoline, and there's no snowstorm. And so this is but I think this FEMA dilemma can be reflected in many other agencies as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, we see that type of use case quite commonly, highly scalable scenarios. For example, we're working with a partner, Haystacks, that does Super Bowl security management systems. So once a year, they scale up massively on our cloud platform, and they help the FBI and the local officials all get together on a common platform so that they're, you know, their systems work together. You know, historically, some people, like, one radio frequency wouldn't talk to another. So the federal agent and the local agent couldn't even communicate. Now, with a common dashboard and a common control center, you get much higher security. And this is a once a year event. So imagine trying to buy infrastructure to run a giant event like that. And then what do you do with that, you know, 51 weeks of the year? So really, public safety use cases, fire control systems, lots of those use cases in the government, and they're really, really well suited for a cloud platform.
In the last 2 years, obviously, it's gone from 300 to 900. It's tripled, but I think it's more pervasive than that. It's, for example, when I putting together my notes for the show, I had them on Google Docs. And I said, oh, geez, I have to. So what I did is I downloaded them, got a Word document, and sent them off to you. And then I'm driving into the studio this morning going, wait a minute, why did I do it that way? There's ways to share information that are a lot easier than the traditional ways of a Word document here and doing that and letter or something. And people have to realize that the scale is there, and you have to be able to use it with Amazon and deploy some of these different tools. What I'd like to do is maybe take a break and come back and talk about some of these services that you offer that may be confusing to some people. Because some of the terms, I mean, if you hear a term like Kinesis, you're going to go, was that a medical term? or you know, Redshift. Well, that sounds like some kind of like a star or something, or some kind of astrology.
But we should
term.
Talk about security, because people immediately have that concern, and it's a paradigm shift. They should, you know, there's valid reasons to be concerned, and we have really great answers to their concerns.
So let's take a break, come back, talk more about some of the specifics with Amazon security and strange terms like Redshift and EC2 and some other terms that you may have heard bantered about here. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Mark Ryland, Chief Solutions Architect, Amazon Web Services. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Mark Ryland, Chief Solutions Architect, Amazon Web Services. During the break, I was talking about my little adventure tonight. I'm going to go to a little meetup for a bunch of security professionals in Dulles. And we talked about security right before the break. So tell me about, you know, I can get a server down the room, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to be secure. Why would I be more secure if I use a service like Amazon Redshift or spin up a server in your cloud? I mean, is there more risk, less risk? I mean, from the federal perspective, what's the concern here?
Yeah, John, the conversation has changed so dramatically from when I started with Amazon 3 years ago. In those days, we couldn't get, you know, 10 seconds into a presentation about our services before someone said, but wait a second, public cloud, that just sounds dangerous. And that led me later to, I was on a panel at a Red Hat conference, and interesting, the moderator said, summarize your comments in a tweet. I'd never had someone ask me that before. So 160 characters or less, what is your point? And I said, I thought for a second, I said, public cloud, worst name ever in the history of IT. And what I meant by that literally is, there's the fact that you have the ability to quickly access services, and the fact that it's multi-tenanted doesn't mean that your data is available. You have complete control. Isolation is a fundamental property of a cloud platform. And our cloud is highly focused on providing you a very, very safe and secure environment. Everything's turned, access is turned off by default. You can spin up a virtual machine. You can't even log into that machine until you open up the firewalls that are built into the environment. You create an object in S3 bucket, our object storage service. Nobody can access that object until you change the access control list on that or set it up for access by, you know, particular individuals or what have you. So It's denied by default. It's highly isolated. Now, 3 years later, the conversations are very different, because now we have customers standing up and saying, you know what, I can be more secure in your environment than I could ever be on premises, because you have a army of security professionals taking care of so many things that I used to have to worry about. Now all I need to be concerned about is application security, not so much infrastructure. That's all taken care of for me. So by no means can people stop worrying about security. They still have to be very concerned about security, but the surface area they have to worry about is dramatically decreased, and that allows them to be more secure in the cloud than they could in their traditional environments.
In the commercial world, there are companies that have commercial transactions. They have to worry about this thing called PCI compliance, and it is a pain in the neck.
Absolutely.
And if you have a server down the hall, you may have to hire someone like Mark or Five in order just to make sure you comply with that. So what a lot of people are doing is they're moving to the cloud. They're going, I don't have to worry about this PCI nonsense. I'm going to let Zuora, I'm going to let Salesforce worry about the PCI compliance.
Right.
And I can focus on bringing in new customers or whatever the commercial people do. Federal government's just the same. All of a sudden, you're in a room for security professionals, and they go, well, geez, in May, you got the FedRAMP approval, didn't you, of 2013?
Yep.
Well, that's almost 2 years. I think you figured it out by now, huh?
Absolutely. And FedRAMP was a very tough security process and a tough security audit. And we came through with flying colors. And the beauty of it is, now without any additional cost or any additional, you know, capability, that just any of the smallest agency or mom and pop shop now has the access to the very same secure infrastructure that our largest customers, like Health and Human Services, like the Food and Drug Administration, all of the major federal agencies using our platform, using the FedRAMP controls, that same platform is available to anybody who comes in and utilizes the capabilities.
We talked about new products and products announcements when we started the show. So I've got to ask about this thing. There's a couple new products just released. One is called Amazon Workspaces, and then Amazon Zocalo. Tell me about these two.
Sure. Yeah, we've actually just rebranded Zocalo, believe it or not, as of last night. It's called now WorkDocs.
Wow.
To go along with our workspaces and WorkMail, which we also announced yesterday. So yes, we're moving up the stack, and our customers are asking us for more end-user type of capabilities as well. So with workspaces, we have a virtual desktop capability. Provision a desktop, run it in the cloud, run it from your tablet, run it from all kinds of devices, highly secure, highly configurable, you know, shut it down when you don't need it. So that's been a service that's been out for over a year and has been very successful. And more recently, Zocalo, now WorkDocs, is a document management sharing and a collaboration service. And then as of yesterday, WorkMail. So a number of customers have asked us to provide email. Email is like dial tone in business. You just have to have it. So everybody has to have it. And our capability just adds to our portfolio. It allows customers to have a sort of a single cloud, giving them many different services. And we've got some really nice features baked in, especially around security, the ability to use our new key management service to do all the encryption of your data is done using keys that you manage and you can revoke. And therefore, by simply revoking an encryption key, essentially you've obliterated all the data in our cloud from access by anybody, including us or any third party.
And it incorporates remote wipe as well.
Yeah.
This is a fascinating. It's interesting that we start talking about the cloud, then all of a sudden we're talking about workflow and email, and then security pops right back up,
yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah. Zocalo is a neighborhood in Mexico City, by the way.
I've
been there, and
yeah.
It's my sister spent Christmas in Mexico City, so I thought that was it, with the kids and the husband, all that stuff.
I thought it was a good name. I think it's become a colloquial term for the town square, because it is the town square
exactly.
In Mexico City.
Yeah.
But I think throughout Latin America, it's used as kind of a general term for a meeting place.
Yeah, in some Spanish-speaking countries, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, from Zocalo to workspaces to WorkMail to I'm going to throw out a term that many listeners maybe have read about, and the term is Kinesis. And, you know, you got to admit that's one of the services that Amazon offers. What is Kinesis, and what would my listeners ever use Kinesis for?
Kinesis is a data streaming management service. So Kinesis enables you to have a whole variety of data creators, things like Internet of Things devices, application embedded JavaScript inside of a browser, anything that's going to generate a constant stream of data records. Kinesis will allow you to just spew that stream at amazingly high data rates into this managed service, which will persist it to disk across multiple data centers, so you get highly durable storage right out of the gate. As soon as you get a response back, a valid, you know, 200 response code saying, hey, this data, your call was successful, you know at that point that record has been persisted into at least three different data centers in a highly durable fashion, and you can generate data at an amazing rate, megabits, hundreds of megabits per second. We'll ingest that data, store it durably, and then on the back end, you pull the data off in big chunks and move that into the data processing system of your choice, whether it's a traditional database or our Redshift data warehouse or our DynamoDB managed NoSQL database. So basically, think of it as like a data streaming management service that allows you to deal with lots of incoming data and then pull it out in a managed fashion.
I tossed that question out intentionally because I was at an Amazon Web Services trade show. I don't know if it's going to be here this summer again, but I walked in the room on Kinesis, and he was talking about big data, big headaches, no more. Because that's one of the problems with big data, is just because you have 2 megabytes or petabytes of information out there, that doesn't mean you can go from point A to point B quickly.
Yeah.
It means you have it at point A. Now what? Well, there's big data. It's great. It's great. How do you optimize that? Is that coming up again this year so my listeners can attend these shows?
They'll be we call it our public sector summit or symposium, an annual event, and that will definitely be coming this summer.
It's great because if, you know, there's 20 services you're looking at for Amazon, and maybe you just want to know about Docker. But you can go to specific, you know, 20, 30 people in a room and learn about Docker. No, I just want to learn about Amazon Redshift and go there and learn all about that. I think that is the advantage of having this distributed. It's not just we're going to come and get one product and that's all you learn about. No, you could do really, really a deep dive in some of these things. And some of the speakers you had there, these are internationally known experts who have been deploying this all over the world. And you drag them to D.C. and say, just stand, answer any question these companies have. And they will. This is a really good event, I thought. Did you try to hook up with you last year?
I'm glad to hear you say that. Yeah, we thought it was really a great event. We had some really good keynote speakers from just really top officials doing amazing things with cloud. And then we had this great set of breakout sessions diving deep on new capabilities. So this year it'll be, you mentioned Docker. So we have an EC2 container service, which enables you to build and use Docker as a kind of very lightweight type of application virtualization. We have Aurora we've announced recently, which is a managed SQL database giving you five times the performance and one-tenth the price of a traditional on-premises high-volume database. Lots of new capabilities. I mentioned earlier our key management service. I think govies should be really interested in this. Traditionally, you had to make a hard choice when it came to cryptography. You had to either manage the keys yourself, which is difficult and required various kinds of complicated application integration problems, or you could delegate to the cloud vendor and say, hey, encrypt things at rest, but you manage the keys for me, and you had no visibility into the keys and how they were managed, and you couldn't revoke them and so forth. Key management service really, splits the baby in a very powerful way. So now we automatically utilize the keys within our services, but you have a full audit and control of the access of those keys. So S3 service actually calls the key management service in an auditable fashion, accesses the wrapper keys, uses that for encryption, but you can revoke and rotate the actual master keys within the service and thereby have complete control over our utilization of your data. So it's a really powerful way to improve security in the cloud.
For some of my listeners, that's the phrase that pays, audit. That's it. All of a sudden, their ears go up and they go, audit. Yes, that's exactly what I want, because they're subject to being audited and they have to be very, very careful about what they do.
Absolutely.
And if you can easily, you can call it document, you can audit, whatever you want, show a history of what happened. I'm looking forward to the show coming up this summer. Let's take a break here and come back, talk more about maybe social media and the show and some more of these strange terms like Amazon Redshift. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Mark Ryland, Chief Solutions Architect, Amazon Web Services. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Mark Ryland, Chief Solutions Architect, Amazon Web Services. And we've only been talking about 10,000 different topics, and I've been tossing out names of services, and we've been playing Stump the Chump, and every one you hit, exactly, Kinesis and Amazon Redshift and everything else. Let's switch games. Let's talk maybe about federal agencies and users. Give me an example of an agency or maybe one of your customers that actually has taken one of these services and actually helped them reach a goal or save money or improve service.
So let's give a good example. So the Food and Drug Administration had a program for reporting adverse drug findings. The problem was it's a paper-based program, so doctors and health caregivers around the country would fill out a form, and they'd fax it in, or they'd send a PDF, and they literally had more than a one-year backlog just trying to process the paper-based system. So one of our more visionary customers said, this is crazy. We've got to be able to automate this process. So he actually worked with a Silicon Valley-based startup to build a system for the FDA, which is a completely automated cloud-based system, does optical character recognition in the cloud. They brought the page, dollar per page price from $29 to 25 cents, and they took the backlog from over a year down to literally zero. It's one day now. The day after something is submitted, it's in their database. So just by thinking a little bit outside the box and leveraging cloud technology, you see this great improvement in terms of the FDA, and they're doing things like Twitter mining using the same system, looking for not just people filing adverse claims, but someone who just says, hey, I just took drug X and I feel bad. And they can literally now get from social media real-time data about adverse drug information. Never, something like that has never been done before.
And you just can't do that with your father's computing system. You just can't do that with the server down the hall. Look, I'm a tightwad. I want to use that server down the wall and put 200,000 miles on it. But it ain't doing it anymore. You have to be flexible. And this whole idea of reading PDFs in the cloud and then organizing information that way, that's got to be so many challenges. So many of the agencies have problems like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
As I said, I went to InfoWeek and I typed in Amazon Web Services and I had like 10 articles in the last month of new products. There's something called C4 XLarge that gives 36 virtual server instances. I mean, it's just –
Yeah, this is our most powerful virtual machine type that we've ever been able to provide. We have a special partnership with Intel. We actually have custom Haswell processors from Intel, which allow us to provide some really powerful capabilities, including Turbo Boost and all kinds of nice things. These systems that we've refined the virtualization layer so much to the point that even though it's a virtualized platform, you can still get access to things like processor temperature and whether, the overclocked thing is causing problems. So you can, in your own code, you can actually optimize the use of these super powerful processors despite the fact that it's virtualized and we have therefore given you this very powerful envelope around your code and give you a bunch of the features that only virtualization provides.
I had Intel in the studio a couple months back, and I was fascinated by how they're adapting their hardware to the cloud and making sure it's flexible and can handle different things. It's really a great story in this. And I keep thinking of 36 virtual seats. Now, who would use that? And then I said, well, NASA. I mean, yeah. NASA is the perfect place. Talk about big data. They were into big data for. Big data was cool.
Now, our customers are just loving this. And the beautiful thing about a cloud platform is imagine you a year ago, you just bought the most powerful processor that was available at the time. And then the new processor comes out. What do? Are you going to end of life your relatively new servers? In the cloud, you literally just stop a virtual machine, restart it on the more powerful platform. The migration is takes seconds to go from the previous generation to the current generation. And people just absolutely love that. They can't believe how easy it is, actually, when they realize the flexibility they've bought into.
You mentioned Twitter earlier. Might as well mention the Amazons. Amazon has a Twitter feed. It's called AWS Cloud. Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, AWS Cloud, so you can follow there. Are there any blogs that you read to keep up with this technology? Is something that you enjoy? Maybe my listeners, you can share with them?
This is a challenge for our customers. We ship so many features and so many new capabilities, and we actually get this kind of somewhat tongue-in-cheek complaint from people. How you guys, you do too much. You move too fast. I actually recommend that people just get an email subscription to Jeff Barr's official AWS blog. I read it myself. Almost every day there's an email that just talks about the latest and greatest.
And how do you spell his name?
Jeff, G-J-E-F-F, and Barr is B-A-R-R.
Oh, that's not true.
And so he's also on Twitter, and he has our kind of primary blog. And then we have some other ones. We have a security blog. We've got a software engineering blog for people in those more specialized fields. But there's a lot of information out there, and I find just reading Jeff's updates is a really good way to keep up with what's going on with AWS.
Well, I wonder if Jeff has written about CloudTrace. another one.
Yeah,
huh?
CloudTrail.
Is that it? CloudTrail.
CloudTrail is a really powerful capability. You mentioned audit earlier. So our customers, you know, for a long time said, hey, we want to have more visibility at what's going on in our environment. So we provided them now a complete a record of all the API calls. Now, you remember, this is programmable infrastructure. So every single thing you're doing, whether you're using our graphical console or you're writing code or you're using our command line tools, everything you're doing is going through a well-defined API layer. And so there's a single point at which we can make a record of every single thing that's going on in your environment in terms of changes. So CloudTrail emits a log stream, literally a CloudWatch log stream, which you can filter and set alarms and everything on, of all the changes going on in your environment. Moreover, people wanted more than that. They wanted a history of those things. So we've now provided a service called AWS Config, which works with CloudTrail, but also takes periodic snapshots of your environment and gives you a history of the state of every single thing in your environment. So the configuration management, which has always been a huge challenge for people in an on-premises world, because you had to instrument everything, you had to put agents on things, you had to, you know, some of the hardware didn't work with the configuration management system and so forth. In the cloud, because everything is driven by software, we're able to provide you this incredibly rich history and audit log of all the changes that have happened in your environment over the last however many weeks that you want to look at.
And when you were describing that, I was thinking of log files and go, oh, geez, it's kind of like, you know, a log file for the cloud. All of a sudden, you can go back and see what happened. Okay, it's Saturday at 3 p.m. This incident happened. This event happened. You can go back. Oh, I see what happened there.
Yeah, and all the relationships, too. It turns out it's a really interesting data problem. For example, you know, the event is virtual machine stopped. Okay. Now you say, okay, well, that's interesting. You go look at that. Well, wait a second. What was its IP address at the time? What volumes was it attached to? Who made the API call to stop it? There's all kinds of related data that you want to be able to pivot on and sort of drill into. And the config service allows you to go down many different exploratory paths from any given object and look at all the relationships it has with other things in the cloud and understand all of that through both data exploration and queries.
Yeah, that's why a lot of enterprise architects are kind of like little detectives, like Sherlock Holmes, because, okay, something happened on Saturday at 3 o'clock. You got to go back and figure out what it is. It may or may not be related to something else.
Yep.
It's almost like a physician doing a diagnosis of, well, this is what happened. Well, let's get down to the root cause and find exactly what it is to save the situation. I talked about InfoWorld and all kinds of new products and everything else. My listeners are kind of interested maybe being able to use some of these services. And just in January, there was a big press release where GSA is making some of the services available. Is that right? Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things we are constantly working on is getting better contractual vehicles for customers, because, as you know, in government, it's one thing to have this wonderful new gizmo that you want to get, and actually purchasing it through, you know, through the procurement processes can be a challenge at times. So we've done a lot of work to become available on both a lot of government-wide contracts and a number of new vehicles as they come along. So procurement is really important to this whole thing. And actually, there is a challenge just from the perspective of most IT purchasers are used to doing capital expenditures, capital buys. And so there's a kind of a mental shift that's required to say, hey, this is a variable cost thing. How do I buy a variable cost item that I used to think about as a three-year capital investment? So what we've done is we work with a lot of our agency customers to say, hey, just down the hall from you, there's a procurement shop that does telephony or that does power, or that does professional services, or that does other kinds of things that are inherently variable. Go talk to those folks. How do they do their purchasing and their cost estimating and their budgeting? And it turns out there are answers to all those questions, but often it's just not in the IT department. So you got to expand a little bit to find the experts in the agencies that know how to buy variable cost. And of course, by doing that, you can save a ton of money. So it's definitely worth it.
I mean, there's companies out there that just can look at variable cost and recommend ways to save money on it. I'm sure there's agencies that figured out they've had telephone systems now for 50, 60 years. Yeah. I mean, there's a fixed cost and a variable cost and a way to manage that. There must be tools out there to manage that cost as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure, and we even have partners that take a prepay. So you can treat AWS like as if it was a capital expense. You pay our partner, you know, $100,000 at the end of the quarter, and they'll use that to then as like a escrow account. And they'll trickle down the spend as you variably consume it over the period
of
months.
It's like a prepaid credit card.
Yeah, like an Amazon Prime card.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Let's take a little break and come back. Talk more about how Amazon can help my govies achieve some of their objectives by using all kinds of different tools available. It's like a toolbox that's 10 feet wide almost. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM in the studio. We have Mark Ryland, Chief Solutions Architect, Amazon Web Services. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Mark Ryland, Chief Solutions Architect for Amazon Web Services. You know, I tell my students I have all these funny catchphrases, and one catchphrase is, in order to be terrific, you got to be specific. So I'm going to be specific with you there, Mark. Okay, we got govies listening. Give me a specific. Tell me how Amazon Web Services has helped a federal agency. Give me a detail.
Sure. Let me give you a great example with FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, who regulates all the dealer brokers in the United States under the auspices of the SEC. So FINRA wanted to modernize their data analytics capabilities. As you know, financial markets are much more closely scrutinized today, and there's a lot more care that goes into, you know, looking for interesting things that can happen if people are doing things they shouldn't do. So FINRA has made a decision essentially to go all into the cloud. They've moved some of their key analytics applications to the AWS platform. Now, they're dealing with markets that generate 30 billion transactions per day. Their analytics clusters are dealing with 2 to 3 petabytes types of data ranges, and they were able to lower query time for some of their queries from minutes to seconds by moving to a modern cloud platform. They've estimated that their annual costs are going to drop by $10 to $20 million a year while increasing capability simultaneously. And to top it all off, their CIO stood up at a recent financial industry conference and said, I feel confident that my systems are more secure in the Amazon cloud than they were on premises. So it's a trifecta, you know, more capability, lower cost, more security. And that that case study is available on our website. And if you Google the FINRA CIO, you'll get the speeches he's been giving around the industry about really great capabilities.
Maybe you can spell that for the radio, FINRA?
FINRA.
Okay,
Google Financial Industry Regulatory Authority.
And listen to it. Yeah, I think that's a great testimonial. And all of my listeners unequivocally are getting reduced budgets, staff's getting yanked, hard to find good people. And so they're looking for every possible way to solve the problem. And I think you really have to consider some of the offerings that Amazon has. Many of my listeners listen to my show and they go, geez, what kind of phone did that guy have? And so I've come up with a very scientific 10-question test, Mark. And I'm going to give you this test. And,
okay,
fair enough. Listeners will find out if you are a card-carrying nerd or not. Mm-hmm. So we break into your house. How many old-school desktops do we find?
I still have one.
That's weak. How many cell phones have you purchased for yourself in the last year?
For myself or me and my family?
For yourself.
just one.
Oh, he's not very much a nerd, is he? And do you have a personal Twitter feed?
I do. It's at Mark Rye.
R-Y.
Yep.
Okay. But in the Amazon one, what's the Amazon Twitter feed again?
At AWS Cloud.
Okay, great. And do you have a personal blog?
I am not blogging these days, okay. But you know what? Twist my arm. Maybe we could start something.
And what kind of smartphone do you have?
Amazon Fire Phone, of
course. Wow. You know, he knows his boss is going to be listening to this one, huh? And on that Amazon Fire Phone, what's the most popular app in the last 30 days?
That's a good one. I think it's actually the Amazon Photo app because with free photos.
This guy's a company man.
Seriously, I am not kidding you. You know, because the phones run out of memory pretty often if you do a lot of photos, and this thing just trickles all your photos up to the cloud, and
that's interesting,
you can delete them locally and they stay forever in the cloud. So I love that thing.
Yeah, my wife has this big single lens reflex, big thing, and she takes all her pictures with her phone. So.
Of course, that's what we all
do. So we break into your house. How many tablet devices do we find there?
You'd find about six, I'd say.
Six. Wow, yeah. You're finally getting some nerd points. Yeah, nerd points. And what was your most recent post on a social networking site?
I guess probably a few weeks ago on LinkedIn.
Okay. And do you wear, on your person, do you have a mobile fitness device?
I do not.
I know,
I'm losing ground here.
You're not very nerdy. You could be normal, but we'll find out with the last question. The last book you read, was it paper or was it electronic? How'd you read it?
The last book I read was paper. I'm an old school
Mark,
on that.
Mark, I'm going to have to take you outside and show you what nerds are all about, okay? You know.
But I read a lot on the Kindle, but I'm being honest here. And it wasn't even on technology.
But I read a lot. Well, you're no company man after all. Maybe you want to be company man. That's always interesting. I personally prefer paper because I'm old-fashioned. There's something about I can almost picture what things look like on pages. And anyway, everyone has different bias for that.
It actually helps your memory, I think, in some ways.
Well, the last time you were at 300, now you're at 900. So the next time you come back, what's going to happen in the future here? Where is Amazon be headed? Is more and more government services saving people money? I mean, it's almost like a fire hose out of control. There's so many new products you have, and so many. Where do you think Amazon is heading, especially with the federal government?
Well, you know, we're going to keep adding more control and isolation features, and ability to introspect, see what's going on in the environment. People are always looking for more of those type of capabilities. So we'll keep innovating in that space, giving you really rich transparency. We'll keep adding more higher level features. Like we have this really cool, I think will be revolutionary service. It'll take a while. It's called Lambda. Think of it as stored procedures for the cloud. Your listeners know databases and how you can do a database operation and then code runs, right? Well, imagine that every time you did some cloud operation, whether it's upload a file or update a database row or whatever, that some little piece of code snippet just automatically runs and does some starts a workflow or does something else. And imagine that you're paying for that compute by the operation and not paying but for a virtual machine by the hour. You can do some really fantastically innovative things where literally you're paying zero when nothing's happening.
Because when event A happens, then?
Then code runs.
Bang.
And when no events are happening, no code runs, zero cost. So building entire applications out of these code snippets, I think that's going to be the future for some really cool and exciting applications. And then, of course, you know, lots more innovation at the higher levels of the stack. So the end user features we've talked about with workspaces, workmail, workdocs, we'll keep innovating and improving those and integrating with other systems. And the, you know, sky's the limit because with budgets decreasing and the requirements of government going up, cloud is really the way to get out of the so-called iron triangle. One time, one of our vice president, Teresa Carlson, likes to tell a story of a general who said, I can get cheaper systems, I can get better systems, or I can get faster systems, but I can only get two of those at a time. It's impossible to get something that's cheaper, better, and faster simultaneously. And with cloud, we can literally break that iron triangle.
Yes, it's awful fuzzy. Many of the guests I have in here have a pretty good idea what's going to happen in the next few years. But there's just so much going on with Amazon and the cloud. It's coming in so quickly. I keep thinking of this monitoring service. It's almost like, well, there are companies out there that monitor what happens in social media. And this is what with this code runs is a similar thing. It's almost like a monitoring service where geez, you only pay for the time when it actually is in use. It's just is so much more efficient than traditional standard ways of doing things and gets you more flexibility as well.
Yeah.
Tell us about the event coming up. Is it in July? When's your event going to be? Amazon, sometime over the summer.
It'll be this summer.
I guess you can go to Amazon.com and find out more about it. And
yep, if you look for the public sector teams page on the Amazon Web Services, you'll find all of the information about our event. And then, of course, we have our big annual event, including a lot of public sector tracks and breakouts and CXO events. That'll be in October. That's called AWS reInvent, and that's the big company-wide conference.
So how long has this GovCloud been around for my audience, and what kind of services can it provide, and how does it differentiate from the other types of regions that you have?
So GovCloud has been around for about 3.5 years. Actually, GovCloud opened just a couple weeks before I started with AWS, interestingly, so it's easy for me to remember that. And it has all the core services that you would come to expect, EC2 and EBS, S3, CloudTrail, Glacier, we didn't talk about, this very low-cost long-term storage system, lots of really great capabilities. Fundamentally, it's differentiated in a couple of ways. Number one, it's a region that we operate on a U.S. person's basis, meaning that you can store ITAR data or in other types of sensitive but unclassified data and meet all your regulatory and compliance needs. It's got some additional capabilities with things like FIPS validated cryptographic hardware, which are available uniquely in that region. And then thirdly, I mentioned before, perhaps the most important thing for many of our customers is that it's the only cloud where you have to do more than just swipe a credit card to get access. It's a vetted process where we check you out and make sure that you're a suitable customer. And even though multi-tenanted, the set of tenants that are in there is controlled.
And in the commercial, regular Amazon world, the whole idea is self-service and being able to come in and do things quickly at 2 o'clock in the morning, the weekend, the holiday, whatever needs to be done. And it's very difficult to take and apply that to federal agencies that may have security requirements that may be more challenging than Domino's Pizza.
Yeah, absolutely. But we work close. So GovCloud onboarding is a little bit more complicated. But once you have an account there, then it has all the flexibility, the API-driven access. But we work very closely with our customers to set up good governance models because they're, of course, they're trying to avoid cloud sprawl and people kind of running around doing things without some kind of central oversight. But on the other hand, if they try to clamp down on that, it never works because people just need to get their jobs done. So what we've done is help work with CIO shops to create a kind of carrot and stick approach saying, hey, if you come to us, we will help you onboard to the cloud. We'll provide you with some security and governance features. And we'll track your usage and make you be more efficient users of the cloud. And that's working out really well. We're finding that agencies really respond well to that message.
More efficient users of the cloud. That kind of summarizes the show. We're going to have to end right here. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Mark Ryland, Chief Solutions Architect, Amazon Web Services.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 9, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.